You're listening to the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast, where we explore all kinds of hot topics in the logistics industry. Get ready to learn, laugh, and get your freight on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett, joined with me as always, Teddy Lee Knox, our Director of Logistics Solutions. Teddy, what's up?
Just thinking about the market, thinking about quarterly updates.
Heck yeah. Q1 is racing through. We got a special guest with us to talk about quarter two, our president and co-founder, Andrew Lynch. Hello, Andrew.
Hello. Thanks for having me again. I'm a regular.
Yeah, welcome back. A recurring guest. We're getting into it. I believe we talked Q1 market update at the end of 2024. And here we are, almost done with Q1. Played out about as what we thought.
Did you recap it? I'm interested to know how we did.
I'm going to recap it right now. January was typically, there's a lot of weather. It was slightly disruptive, but maybe not as disruptive as years past. February was similar, a little bit softer, not a lot of freight moving. We did have what I believe we're going to, a topic that we're going to talk about here for Q2. We had some tariff talks.
Tariffs.
Certainly within the greater North American transportation market, inbound and outbound Mexico and Canada.
Yeah, it really felt like the back half of February is when things really started to quiet down. And obviously, you know, for obvious reasons, I think for all of us. But
yeah. But here we are, mid-March, and, you know, there's signs of life with produce season. Our friends down in Texas talk about flower season around Valentine's Day. So we saw a few bumps and blips here and there, but more or less, the freight's moving, capacity is available. And yeah, that seems to be kind of the general state of things.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, everything that was true for the first quarter is really probably true for the second too. You know, I mean, there are going to be bumps for people that are overplaying their hand here and there. I think that's, you know, that's the case in any sort of transitional market, which I think this is still a transitional market. Mm-hmm. It's transitioning slower than a lot of people predicted. It's transitioning right on pace for how other folks predicted. You know, one way or another, the transition into a tighter market is happening. And the risk, you know, we continue to talk to our clients about the risk, you know, even in Q2, well, probably especially into the produce parts of Q2, or even as you start getting into maybe early May or late April, that the risks are around service. You know, you shouldn't have budget risk anywhere in this year, except to the extent that you're, you know, realized revenue is different from your budgeted revenue because you had service failures all over the place.
Right.
I always feel like the transition from quarter one into quarter two in the logistics market is just like my life. You know, you're just, people are starting to wake up a little bit. You see neighbors outside.
Yeah.
You're over the seasonal depression. I feel like it's the same thing here. Everyone has done filing their taxes. People are easier to get on the phone. People are more eager to talk. You know, the
sun is shining.
The sun is shining. There's more freight. There's more things going on. There's more collaboration. So I know that's probably not exactly perfect in comparison, but I do feel like that's what happens. And the transition from quarter one to quarter two is everyone kind of like wakes up.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, I wonder how much of that, or I would imagine a fair amount of that relates to just sort of kind of like bid season is happening. Mm-hmm. And also, it was for folks that don't run, you know, sort of broad RFPs, it's kind of like, well, we've figured out sort of where we stand to budget. You know, most people by the end of the first quarter, you really start to understand kind of what your year is going to look like from a comparison to budget perspective. And, you know, people become a little bit, you know, to your point, a little freer to have those conversations that are more forward looking.
That'd be an interesting topic, Teddy. Mark that down. Take some notes.
Done.
Q1, like hot products.
What's hot?
Like beverage season is, you know, May into July through July, or like soup season is kind of August into school season, right? Like obviously produce season is April 15th through July 4th. What's going on in Q1?
Everyone's hibernating.
Right.
No one's buying anything other than juice cleansers.
You're running their RFPs. It's like literally just get the freight that we've got. Just status quo. We're going to finish up the last year's RFP, we just got to get through it, and then we're going to start it. But
No sudden movements.
What would be the hot product moving in Q1?
Anything related to depression.
It returns, it sounds like.
Yeah. Returns, but yeah, like...
which I'm we're guessing, great at, by
I'm guessing
way.
Blankets yeah. have a killer 1Q.
But that's probably Q4.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh, right.
Alcohol, things that are things that are consumed fast while you're sad. Alcohol and Doritos.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Maybe that's a different podcast altogether. But okay. Some hot topics we're going to talk about right off the rip. I mentioned it in the intro, but everyone's favorite topic right now, including our current president, tariffs, baby. Reciprocal or otherwise, the most recent ones, again, primarily affecting North American domestic transportation would obviously be the 20% tariffs on Canada and Mexico. We also, what about China? We've got some affecting that. Tell us how you think that's playing out in the transportation market. Got any ideas there?
I think it's broadly market-wide, and the part that I think we could categorize as trend or macro is just that it's creating so much uncertainty that people can't pull the trigger on things.
Sure.
And, you know, whether you're importing componentry or you're importing, you know, finished goods, it's really, really difficult to place orders when you don't necessarily understand what your cost basis is going to look like and how that's going to relate to your price to your end consumer. You know, thankfully here at Zipline, serving, you know, primarily consumer goods and retail-driven product, we have a decent amount of product that's just kind of made, you know, here in the USA. Mm-hmm. Most of the expensive parts of their supply chain happen domestically, right? They may import componentry or they may import, you know, an ingredient or two, but they're not devastated by, a tariff. But, you know, when you get into maybe sort of the more micro experience for folks, you know, we did have a week there where prices outbound from Canada went up by like $1,000, you know, on everything that we were moving. But that's awfully disruptive for folks. Mm-hmm. That's a tough one to deal with. And I think, you know, if you don't have, you know, any sort of flexibility built into your supply chain, right? And these are products or componentry that's needed for production kind of come hell or high water because you haven't planned for any sort of pivot opportunity. You're just kind of, you know, left to the market's ways. And that's really challenging for folks.
You mentioned the pivots. We certainly experienced that, like you said, on a micro level of maybe they don't have the componentry like you talked about or the ingredients. We obviously have customers in Mexico and Canada. There's retailers there, right? 85% of our freight delivers to a retail shelf. There's retailers in Canada that we ship into for our customers. So, hey, we did get a few calls from customers saying, hey, what can we do to get 60 truckloads into Canada as quickly as possible, i.e. before March 2nd. We were able to, thankfully, move quickly and address those needs as they came about. But like you said, the flexibility, that component comes in of, do you have warehouse space? Like, how many other people are requesting this? Does the retailer have the space to hold that, et cetera, is the product produced? So all those things are taken into account. But, you know, it kind of falls back on what we talk about in almost every episode of over-communication and education with our customers.
Yeah, and I think just like keeping a constant forward eye on where risks are, right? I mean, not every risk that you plan for ideally, you know, becomes something that comes into reality. But, you know, having multiple scenarios in play so that you can at least react. And I certainly, you know, I think that cross-border warehouses and freight forwarders and even, you know, folks that are at the ports that, you know, maybe don't have quite as, haven't had quite the same immediate feel from tariffs. They're having a great time right now, right?
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they've got an enormous amount of demand coming their way. You know, there's a lot of question about, especially with how dynamic the tariff conversations seem to be, right? It's 20% one day. It's, you know, then it's mm-hmm. going to exclude some of these products. You know, with China, it's X percent, but then, you know, a week later, it's going to be only 10% on these products. Like,
yeah.
At what point does someone apply the cost of that tariff to their cost of goods sold, right? Like,
yeah,
if my container got on the water and the tariff was going to be 10%, but by the time it got to the port here, it, you know, that tariff had shot up to 25, And by the time it got from the port to my, you know, forward warehouse, it was back down to 15. Like, what am I liable for?
Yeah.
And I think that is a part that is going to continue to be pretty disruptive as this all kind of plays out.
It also makes me wonder for those retailers who are pretty notorious for not ordering full pallets, what that's going to mean for these products delivering to them and selling to them. Is that going to cause issues? I mean, I have a couple names I'm thinking of. I don't know if I want to bring them out on here, but yeah. I think that also becomes really important too, is at what point do you sell more to those retailers or back away from them and go more towards the retailers that are, that have more market value?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's probably on trend for CPG across the board, you know, tariff or not right now is, and, you know, having just come from Expo West, right. And spoken to our clients there and prospects, I think, you know, the general consensus, I mean, it's, I think it's probably been the wisest way to build your business forever, but the general consensus across that population is like, you need to be aiming at the retailers that have your highest velocity, not trying to get into as many doors as humanly possible.
Yeah.
And to your point, Teddy, I think, you know, there's a good chance that the tariff environment accelerates that you know, mind shift where people are more and more understanding, like, oh, wow, not only is it, it's maybe a little bit less abstract for me to understand why I shouldn't be in 15,000 doors at a, you know, quarter of a pallet in each instead of at, you know, three pallets in 700 doors or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it can be best summed up in the Office episode, The Dinner Party, where Michael Scott complains effusively about Jan, his girlfriend, requesting him to get a vasectomy and then getting it reversed and snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap. You know how difficult it is? It's not great.
Yep, that and freight. Totally.
That's lying. Exactly how I felt about it. You just articulated it perfectly.
All right. So we're headed back into other factors in Q2 now that we've tackled tariffs by alluding to a fantastic sitcom from the 21st century. Produce season. We mentioned that. Typically, Teddy's got it. I know there's a podcast about it, but generally tax day, April 15th, kind of all the way through July 4th. In general, it starts southern tip of Florida and kind of progresses north from there, right? With produce. So we're still a little bit away from it. And quite frankly, we have not seen much indicators that it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, I don't see any reason to believe that it's going to be any different than last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where maybe this year you see a little bit of seasonality and that would be healthy. You know, it'd be nice.
Sure.
But, you know, with I think the cooling effect that the tariff environment has had, or let's just say that the uncertainty in general has had, is going to negate whatever sort of uplift comes from produce. Again, there's always regional or, you know, lane by lane or, you know, origin point bumps that come, but I don't see any reason to believe that there will be a heavy, you know, dark red hue taking over the DAT market demand indicator map.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, we're monitoring that. So watch this space for an emergency produce podcast if the orange futures are spiking like in Trading Places. This is going to be a pop culture reference, Teddy.
Every bullet point has to relate to a TV show.
Sure.
Important.
Yeah, like you said, it would be nice to see some seasonal disruption or, you know, directional or regional disruption. But for the most part, that's something that we've been dealing with for, I don't know, 17 years in my logistics career. Another factor I have on here is Blitz Week.
I think Blitz Weeks are worse than produce, and just with capacity and difficulty. And I think they're still kind of new for a lot of people, so there's a lot more uncertainty around them.
They're certainly more annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. They're always around before or after a holiday as well.
Yeah, I hate that. I feel like they're doing that just to bother freight brokers. I feel like that's just a, like, someone somewhere hates freight brokers and decided that this is how.
Or it's kind of like what we were talking about before the pod started of, like, creating just a natural vacation period for people. So like we have, we're all parents on this spot. So like when school's off, that's when we take vacations, right? When Blitz Week happens, that's when truck drivers take their vacation. Like we're not doing it. We're just,
it's for quality of
take time. Your PTO and stop driving.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I mean, you know, I personally hate what it says about trucking. It terrifies me, you know, like the,
oh, you're going to actually look at our stuff? We're out of here.
Yeah. The whole thing, like when I feel like whenever I explain like to my like extended family.
Yeah.
Because my of course, my close family's already heard this ad nauseum. That's
sure.
Great for 22 years. I've been talking about trucking nonstop since 2001. But when I tell, you know, people that have just never heard it, like, oh, yeah, no, truly, during inspection week, like 15% of capacity comes off the road. It's like the look of dread in their eyes. Like, oh, I drive my kids on those roads.
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah. But overall, it's pretty safe.
Oh, no, we're doing great, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we don't really usually have that many issues, probably because we work with really great carriers. So.
Absolutely. We plan ahead. Listen, again, it's probably another podcast episode, Teddy. So again, take some notes.
Yeah, I was just with a client at lunch, and they're a retail brand, and you know, they buy capacity really, really well. They're really partnership driven. That was that sort of topic came up a little bit. It was really through the lens of immigration. And he's like, hey, is this, you know, heavy enforcement of immigration? And, you know, I think his question was sort of in the context of those conversations around folks coming in, you know, with a shipment from Mexico. And then instead of, you know, per sort of USMTA or NAFTA or whatever you want to call
right.
it, they're supposed to go back, that they're, you know, they start running domestic shipments and then head back. And, you know, my response was like, no, we're not. I mean, we're not feeling that anywhere. And to the extent that the market might feel it, it would take
a significant,
it would take a massive, you know,
yeah.
sort of population to be drawn out of the economy. And then you'd also have to see a demand spike. So it's just, you're not going to feel it. But also I was like, well, also wrong audience, because maybe if I was moving a lot of like roll stock paper or scrap
sure.
or something like that, you know, maybe that driver would be what my population looks like. And maybe I'd be spinning right now. But
interesting. That just reminded me, I believe we are at the 5-year anniversary of the COVID shutdown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that is one of the lingering effects. You know, heading into COVID, it felt like almost every article, every produce, every outbound LA blip or whatever was driver shortage, ELDs, driver shortage, driver shortage, driver shortage. And man, that went away pretty quickly there over those 2 years. And now it's obviously more players in the marketplace. So it's like all of these things from the late 2010s or maybe even before that, like you said, you've been doing it for 22 years. You probably experienced that in early 2000s and mid 2000s of like, oh, there's a driver shortage. And if we change this one thing, oh my gosh, it's going to impact everything. And then boom, just a global pandemic happened and a bunch of people entered the marketplace. And here we are 5 years later. And
turns
they're
out
still
the one
here.
Thing we needed to change is just pay people $8 a mile for a year and a half. And
yeah.
You'll have a huge driver population.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, arguably way too big. I think the ATA still argues that there's a driver shortage, which I'm not really sure where they're getting that data.
Yeah,
but
I Teddy, take some notes. Probably another podcast to dive into that.
You can take notes too.
I'm writing some stuff down. You're the idea person. I'm the talent. No,
I just felt like I needed to make that clear that we're an equal team.
That's fair. That's fair. Temperatures, technically, you know, we're in Ohio, so there's always a good snow blast coming in Q2.
Never plant anything before Mother's Day.
Really?
Really? Okay. Because there's going to be another frost. So I take that to watch the weather for all freight until after Mother's Day. And then it's usually pretty safe.
I'm not going to take that advice this year. This last 2 months sucked so bad in Ohio. I'm finished with winter. It's over as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
It's kind of like COVID ended for me in early 2021. And I think
sure.
Like that's the attitude of whether it's over or not, it's over for me. I'm finished with it.
You're the, what my friends used to call push the season guy. So like the first, it's February. It's a 60 degree day. Shorts and t-shirt. Well, I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah.
Spring's here.
I do agree with that. I'm no longer going to carry a coat around.
Yeah.
No matter what. It's just going to stay in there. But I'm still going to watch going into certain states to see if a reefer is needed.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But that's as far as it goes. Sandals are out. Coats are gone.
Coats are gone. Yeah. Kids are going outside.
Mm-hmm.
But it's raining. It's sleet.
It's fine.
No, it's not.
It's above freezing. You're fine.
Get over it.
Yeah.
I like it. ILA and the USMX agreement, no more disruptions there, correct?
I don't think so.
We love it.
I feel like there's a new strike.
It's a relief.
Every quarter, but yeah, we're good to go.
There's enough going on right now that I think they could give us a month or two. So
yeah,
we'll revisit in Q2.
Use a break.
So you touched on it a little bit, Andrew, but the pain points that customers/shippers could be experiencing right now. I'm going to tee up a little bit. Essentially, what we're seeing is, you know, because we're, I don't know if bouncing off the bottom is the right word. There's been signs of relief, but it's hard for folks out there, carriers, to differentiate themselves. Is that a fair assessment?
It's a very fair assessment. And I think it's, you know, I think in times like these, I'm really grateful to be a part of a 20-year-old business, right? That where, you know, and that's to say that our carrier network has been built over these decades through the lens of kind of serving our community, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about, you know, service being the disruption point for folks this year, it's done through the lens of like the broader marketplace, that there are a lot of people in our business, both shippers and brokers, which, by the way, when people are rooting for like brokers taking the driver's seat on pricing, brokers should realize that they're also shippers in that mm-hmm. conversation, right? Like the buy side of the equation is what's going to change here. And it is going to change, right? The carriers do have to go chase profitability. Most of them, or many of them, are operating below their operating costs, or are running their trucks below their operating costs. You know, if you haven't been consistent, if you haven't been building your network through the lens of service, if you haven't been selling yourself to the marketplace through the lens of service,
mm-hmm.
And also buying capacity, you know, kind of consistent with that value set, then you're probably in for a service disruption, right?
Yeah.
You know, those carriers that you're working with aren't going to be delivering 98% on time and full performance when the market starts to tighten, because they are going to go do things that optimize their revenue basis. And for an asset fleet that's constrained by its physical resources, that's going to cause decisions to be made,
right,
that will impact your service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's freight getting dropped in a yard for delivery in a yard, you know, in a local delivery driver, we all know how those things go.
Yep.
You know, that kind of behavior starts coming back into play. And suddenly the actual shipper, the customer in our scenario, finds themselves on the kind of the losing end of a bunch of decisions that were meant to drive profitability.
They're treating everything the same, right? The more you treat the, like you said, the recycling product or whatever, the same as a CPG that expects to be on time in full hitting an MABD, the more concerns, because unfortunately we're paying. Shippers right now are taking advantage of that. The rates for all those are more or less the same.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I think we had one client that said, hey, you know, our entire routing guide, our lowest performer in our routing guide was at 98% on time and full. Like,
yeah,
we've been with that client for a long time. That's never, ever, ever been the case in the past. It's where we are today. I think on the sales side of things, we certainly see that, right? People aren't in a rush to make a big move right now because everything's kind of fine. And certainly, look, they spent COVID putting out supply chain fires.
Yeah.
Like if the supply chain's not on fire, like by all means, go work on something else.
Yeah. It's hard to blame them.
Yeah. Really hard to blame them. And certainly easy to put yourself in the position of someone that, you know, doesn't want to, you know, make, you know, big drastic changes in this kind of environment. And I also think just due to the sort of nature of what a lot of times the day-to-day contact is at a typical shipper, this is usually someone relatively young in their career, right? They're relatively new to supply chain. Maybe they're new to transportation in general. A lot of them have never seen an environment, right? I mean, you know, if you've spent the last 3.5 years in transportation, you think this is the easiest job in the entire world.
I get 25 calls a day. Yeah. Everyone's trying to undercut somebody else.
Yeah, budget, schmudge it. Like, yeah, no problem, man. But like, right? So, you know, I think that there are just a lot of those kind of qualitative things that are going to be probably not easy to measure or maybe impossible to measure, but are going to definitely have an impact.
So for Zipline to stand out, I've got my ideas that, you know, what the good news is that our knowledge doesn't go anywhere in these times of rate compression, right? Even though the price might be going down, the requirements or the expectations aren't going down at all. So we're trying to set our customers up. How else do you see our strengths playing out in a market like this?
Well, I think that the way that we approach our capacity network is really important, you know, and again, you know, this is a relationship business. And I'm not saying that a strong relationship means that, you know, Sergey will leave his rate at $1.40,
sure,
even though the market says it should be at $1.65. Like, that's not going to happen. But, you know, we've garnered enough of a relationship and enough respect and enough consistent engagement with our carrier pool that, you know, they understand that when we come to them and say, hey, you know, the market is saying that this rate has dropped, you know, 8 cents a mile below where we're paying you. And our customer is aware of this because we're transparent about our pricing with them.
Yeah.
We have to be able to like work together on this. That in typical type markets for us, we've gotten that sort of as a reciprocating response that, you know, hey, this lane's underpriced and I either need higher volume or I need, you know, you to go out and find a way to get us an extra 5 cents. And, you know, again, for us, our main mission is protecting service. And so knowing that by and large, we're not going to have big surprises that come up, right? We're not going to have, this guy's been running this shipment for us, you know, every single week, twice a week for the last 3 years. And now all of a sudden he just stops answering his phone.
Right.
So I think that's a big thing. It's just that, you know, our value set plays out beyond just the way that we talk about ourselves in the market or the way that we approach our customers or our shipper partners or our employees, but it extends to our carriers from a professional basis.
Consistency. Love it. Are you expecting any shift at all outside of the regional? Nothing.
No, I don't see anything at all. I don't even think that it's reasonable. And again, I think we talked about this in the Q1 thing. Like our advice to our clients has been, you can budget for flat.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as your engagement with us is concerned, we feel really, really safe about that. I don't really see any reason to advise people to change that. Again, if you've been...
Certainly in the short term, yeah.
Yeah. And look, if you've played your hand really, really aggressively during this time, then maybe pencil in, you know, 9% for the back end of the year. But I don't see any reason, really.
I think that does it. As always, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple. Thank you, Andrew Lynch, president and co-founder of Zipline Logistics, for joining us today on the Zipline Logistics podcast. Teddy, we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Take some notes.